The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle at SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Who wants that old couple up there? Do you know?
We want to thank our mothers and our fathers for making that video. Because we can't possibly be that old. I've got to get something to put a book on here. We are really pleased to be here this morning and honored and really humbled. We've always had a passion for marriages and young marriage, and it hasn't always been that way, but God has put it on our hearts. And so before we get started, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to look around the room, people you're sitting next to, I want you to stand up and introduce yourself. I don't want you sitting next to somebody you don't know for the next hour. Okay. Hopefully you've made a friend. Wait, don't sit down. There's more. Now I want you to face your spouse, and I'm going to ask you to do something that you're probably going to feel a little uneasy about. Face them, and then I want you to give them a big old full frontal hug. Hug them. Real big. All right, that's enough. And now you can sit down if you like. You know, I think everybody likes a hug every now and then. And I used to challenge our young married couples. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. And I always challenge them to carve out 1 minute. You have to hug your spouse for 1 minute
at one sitting.
Now that...
Fully clothed.
Yeah, that'd be vertical and fully clothed. When I first made that rule, I didn't have that in there, and she made me do that. So,
we all know that if it's not clothed, it's going to go somewhere
else.
Yeah,
you're right. So... Anyway, so I'll challenge you all, just try it for 1 week to hug your spouse for 1 minute. Now, you're going to have to figure out when that's going to be in between the time that you're going to pray with her at the same time, because we believe that prayer and praying together is one of the most intimate things that you can do in your marriage. And so we would challenge you to hug and to pray. And that pretty much finishes the session today. No, I was just kidding. So I want to tell you a little bit. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks to Spencer Davis for that great, great message he gave us last night on covenants. I mean, he really just knocked it out of the ballpark. And bottom line, that's kind of where all marriages start, is with that covenants. And so, Spencer, you did good, buddy, wherever you're at. So, you know, it's really refreshing to get in front of a group that has committed a whole weekend of their life. The most precious gift that you can give to someone is time. And you've given your time to come here and learn more about marriage and to strengthen your marriage. And so the world would tell you that if I drew a line right down through the middle here, that 50% of the marriages are going to fail. So that half's going to fail, and this half's going to succeed. But I'm telling you that with God in the center of your marriage, you are on the road to success for a long, not meaning that it's going to be easy, but it's going to be a lot better trip for it. I want to start out a little bit with our story. We actually have been married 52 years, as you saw in the video, and I'm proud of that, to make it that long. And also, Zach was wrong last night when he said I was almost 70 years old. I'm 73. So, Zach, there you go. I tell you, we love the Snowbird group. This is the most fantastic thing we've ever gotten involved in our 52 years. But we actually met on a blind date. I was in the military, and a couple introduced us on a blind date. I was fixing to go to Vietnam, and we actually spent 13 days together physically before we got married. So I tell you that only because if God can make our marriage last that long, He can do it for you. And we really didn't even know each other when we got married. I didn't even know what her favorite color was. I didn't know what size shoe she wore. We had two things that we really discussed before we got married. And one is we didn't want a marriage that had a lot of bickering and arguing in it. No yelling and screaming. That was one of them. Because we both came from families that were that way. And the second thing was we pretty much agreed on how we would raise our children if we ever had any. And we were fortunate to have two. And we have them spread out all over the country. We got one in Colorado and one in Boston, Massachusetts. But they both love God, and they're serving God right now. So we are very fortunate and blessed to have great kids, and then we have seven great grandchildren. But our marriage, when we first started, was pretty much revolved around me.
Amen.
Because I was the only child, and grew up in a home where I was pretty spoiled. My family wasn't really grounded in Christ. Got saved at 13, but really didn't realize until after Spicy and I got married, God really got a hold of us when we were about 23, 24, I guess it was. And so that's kind of our story. It's not anything real fantastic, but I can tell you that God has really made a difference in our marriage and in our consideration. And He's brought along a lot of tools that we've used, and a lot of them like love languages. How many of y'all have taken the love language test to know what your love language is? If you haven't done that, you really need to take time to take it and study what your love language is. And I'm going to give you a quick example of this, and Spicy can verify it. My love language is acts of service. When Spicy does, when she washes my clothes and my clothes are folded, I go out and play ball or something, I'm all sweaty and stuff, and somehow those clothes attrition from the dirty clothes basket into my drawer. I don't know how it does it, but I am grateful. And so that really feeds my love bank. We all have love banks. Spicy's is words of affirmation. And so she likes for me to...
Not acts of service.
Yeah, not acts of service. I'm going to tell you about that. But so for the first 20 years of our marriage, I would go out and I'd wash the car and I'd get it all clean and everything, and I would come in to her and I would go, hey, I got your car washed, cleaned it out inside, and it really looks good. What do you think she did? So, big deal. And I'm trying to feed her love bank with my love language, and it just doesn't work.
I just wanted a note. You know, I wanted some words to tell me, hey, you're a good wife. Hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
We all want to be appreciated in our marriage. I mean, if you haven't told your spouse I appreciate you, you'd be surprised what a big love bank deposit that is. But anyway, after taking the love language test, then I realized she needs words of affirmation. I need to lift her up. Well, because of our temperament, that's not one of mine, you know, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But so one of the things that we adopted in our family, and it worked with the kids also because we found out what their love languages were, is we got these dry erase markers, and we put them in the bathrooms.
This was before texting, you guys.
Yeah. What, do what?
It was before texting.
Yeah, this was before texting. I could tell you some real... And we would write notes on the mirror to our kids, like if I was traveling, I'd write them a note and tell them that Jesus loved them or I was proud of them or something like that. I would write spicy notes. The first note I ever wrote her, this is before I realized what it was in lipstick on a mirror that said, "Please clean me." How do you think that went over?
That didn't work.
We had only been married about 3 weeks when that happened. So you can see our marriage has come a long way. But the temperament test was one, and I'll let Spicy tell you kind of how we got into that.
A pastor's wife gave me the book by Tim LaHaye called Spirit-Filled Temperaments, and I was going to read it for a friend of mine who was having trouble in her marriage. And I flipped through it. The original book, this was 40 years ago, okay? The original book had little pen sketches of different facial features because the different temperaments tend to have different body traits that are similar. So I was flipping through the book, and I saw a picture of John. And I went, wow, it looks just like his high school picture. You know, flat top, square chin, you know. So I began to read that first. And it was all about the choleric. And I want to tell you that God used that to probably pretty much save my marriage, because I was at the point that I felt like he didn't love me because all he did was be sarcastic. Now, to someone whose love language is words of encouragement or words of affirmation, sarcasm does not do it. So he was thought he was being funny, but it didn't help our relationship at all.
So... Do we end right now? Or
There's more.
There's more. So anyway, we started reading. We read both of it, and I discovered things about Spicy. Now, I'll tell you on the front end, most of us are blends of a couple of temperaments. And temperaments are characteristics that you're born with, and truthfully, they probably never really change. Only through the Holy Spirit can they be controlled. And I used to be a real high-tempered type of person where if I'd get mad, I'd maybe hit my car with my fist and put a dent in it, and then it would be there forever. And that was really stupid, you know. But be angry for no reason at all. And when I read that book, I understood that was a real problem for a choleric. Most of us are blends. I'm a choleric. Spicy is a phlegsang. And so we are really totally opposite when it comes to temperaments. But let me tell you how that plays out in your marriage, and I didn't understand this. Men, I don't know whether you ever asked your wife, "Would you like to go out to dinner?" And they'll say, "Well, would you like to go?" And you'll say, "No, I'm asking you, would you like to go to dinner?" "Well, if you'd like to go, I'd like to go." And pretty soon, I mean, by the time I go through all that, I don't really want to go to dinner with her. That's the bottom line. So I had to figure that out, because Spicy is a pleaser. And she just wanted to do what John Ridenour wanted to do. And quite honestly, I wanted her to do what I wanted her to do. But I was trying to make an effort, you know. And so I would say, you know, the next question was, finally I would get her to say, "Yeah, I'd like to go out to dinner." "Well, what do you think the next thing is?" "Where would you like to go?" You know. "Well, where would you like to go?" And I'm going, well, it's not about me. I just want to take you out to dinner, wherever you'd like to go. Now, I mean, this gets into a long process, one that clerics don't have a lot of time for, because we like to get right to the point. And so finally, I realized that through reading and learning about temperaments, that there's a way that I can control this, and I just have to give her a choice. So now, it's not, would you like to go out to dinner? Hey, Spicy, let's go out to dinner. Do you want to eat Italian or Mexican? Now, she only has to make a choice of those two. When I give her that, hey, I love Mexican, let's go. So we're off and running.
It works.
And it worked. And so giving her that choice, and that you're going to find that these temperaments work in dealing with your children also. I have a daughter. She is choleric, just like me. How do you think we get along? We get along good, but buddy, when it gets, you want to butt some heads, you get two cholerics together. And if you have two clerics that are married, I always tell people that if she's cleric off the wall and I'm cleric off the wall, the only thing good in the marriage is sex. And after that, it's all downhill. So I want to know, how many in your have taken the temperament test? Congratulations, I am impressed. Did you find, and I like a little feedback on this, did you find that it was fairly accurate? I mean, not 100%, but you look at it, you read it, you say, you know what? I thought mine was pretty accurate till I got to the weaknesses. And I didn't see any of those weaknesses until I read it. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But, well, I'm glad you took it. And do you feel like you learned anything from it? All right, what we can take away from it. Keep in mind that you're probably a blend. It could be a 60-40, 70-30 blend in those. And so you have to take the strengths and weaknesses. And not all the strengths are going to be your strengths. For example, a cleric is pretty one way, and they're good leaders. Well, I'm not a real good manager or leader. I'm a good leader of people, but I'm not a good manager of people. And in the work world, that helped me to understand, did I want to go further along in the corporate world, or did I want to stay where I was and excel in that area? And so you can take these temperaments and put it and apply it to your job as well as your marriage. But primarily we're talking about marriage today. And some of these strengths and weaknesses can be changed by the Holy Spirit. So, Spicy, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to remember with this is a book by Tim LaHaye. It's called Spirit-Controlled Temperaments. It is the best chapter for me, and it is Spirit-Filled Temperament. We're born into sin, all of us. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. But as we learned last night, God made the covenant, and then he gave us a way to make it work. He does it for us if we allow him to. So only through the Holy Spirit can we change. We can't change our spouse, but we can change our attitudes, and we can change our weaknesses by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. So that is key in any relationship, whether it's with your spouse or another member of the family. Because when someone is treating you to the point in a way that you feel unloved, then how do you love them? How do you use those, the fruits of the Spirit? God gives us the list of the fruits of the Spirit, but how do we make it work in our lives? And the only way to do that is by asking the Spirit of God to fill us up to overflowing. And I will tell you, I have to do that every day, because it's not something that you learn once and then you're good to go, you know? Because it keeps happening over and over. We all fall back into selfishness or whatever it is. And my weakness, one of my big weaknesses as a phlegmatic, is just to be unorganized and lazy. And when you begin to know yourself through using resources like this, you learn yourself, you learn how other people see you. And what you want other people to see is Jesus. So we want them to know that we're not perfect, but we also want them to know that Christ made a way for us to turn our weaknesses into more strengths and not be dominated by those weaknesses.
All right, good. So we're if you look in the Bible over in Proverbs 30, chapter 30, 11 and 12, you'll see that there's four characteristics or four different types of men are mentioned in there. And so this temperament thing is not just a new thing. It goes back a long, long way. And if you look at, if I ask you Paul in the Bible, what temperament would you say Paul was? Any guess? Think about him for a minute. He was pretty brash. So he was choleric right off the bat. So we're in pretty good company with him, the clerics are. But also, if you look, Peter was a sanguine. Abraham was a melancholic. And, Moses was a melancholic. And Abraham was a phlegmatic. You can look at these characteristics and the way these guys were in the Bible and see how these temperaments play out. Let's talk a little bit about sanguines for a minute. How many in here were predominantly sanguine? Okay. Got a little. Sanguines are, they enjoy life. They're optimistic, friendly, and compassionate. And then on the weak side, they're egotistical, restless, emotionally unstable, and weak-willed. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that's a sanguine, or if you've got sanguine in there, that you're weak-willed or that you're emotionally unstable. It just means that these are different characteristics that it could be. The clerics are strong-willed, practical leaders, and they're optimistic. And then they're hot-tempered, cruel, impetuous, self-sufficient, and sarcastic. None of those of which I am. And I'm sorry to say, that's a big place where God has really helped me and changed my temperament or changed my will to be those ways, especially on the anger side or being sarcastic. I used to think it was a real credit to my personality that I could cut somebody down, you know, and come to find out I'm ashamed of the way I've acted in a lot of cases. Anyway, the melancholics, they're the sensitive ones, the perfectionists. They're faithful, self-sacrificing. Their weaknesses stem around self-centeredness and being pessimistic, moody, and revengeful. And then phlegmatics are very witty, very dependable, very efficient, very loyal, but they're slow. They're a big tease. They're selfish and stubborn and indecisive. And so when you start looking at those weaknesses and the strengths and you become a blend of them and you know what your spouse is, I mean, I really need to know about Spicy. I want to know everything that I can about her. And tell you the truth, we've been married 52 years, and I learn something new about her all the time. And quite honestly, because as we get older, we change. We mellow a little bit. We may get hard-hearted about some certain things. But I really want to know about her. And coming from the background that we came from, it's been an experience learning about not only her physically, but learning mentally how she thinks. And she's just a wonderful mother. I traveled for a living, so I was gone all the time. And I always tell people we were married for a year. I was in Vietnam for a year, and I came back. And then I got a job traveling. So basically, we've been married 52 years, but Spicy's only had to put up with me about 27. So if you want your marriage to last, get a job and travel. No, that's
God,
not.
God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he?
But anyway, I want to give you a couple of analogies of marriage that I've heard that I thought were pretty appropriate. One of the pastors that where we went to church at before said that marriage is like men think of about the most exotic sports car that you would want to drive and that you could buy. Well, when you get married, you bought that sports car, but it's in a box, and you've got to put it together. And it may take you a long time to do that. Another analogy that he used was two rivers flowing down like in a Y shape, and those rivers come together, and when they come together, they mix and blend, and you can't separate those waters. They're there forever. And that's the way God orchestrated our marriages. He wants it to be forever. There's nothing more than the devil would love to get in the middle of your marriage and see it destroyed. You know why? Because your marriage is a covenant with God, and the devil wants to destroy that. And so we need to keep God at the forefront. And if Spicy's trying to please God, I'm trying to please God, the more we go up that pyramid, the closer we get together and the closer we get to God. Does that make sense? So I want you to think about, any of y'all ever slow dance? It's not a bad thing. Don't worry. They believe in dancing here at Snowbird. Slow dancing especially. When you slow dance in the political or the proper mannerisms, who is supposed to lead in a slow dance? Tell me loud. I've got hearing aids.
The man.
The male. The man's supposed to lead. That's exactly what he's supposed to do in a marriage. He's supposed to be the leader of his home. That doesn't mean he's supposed to suppress the wife. He's not supposed to be the ruling factor. It means that he's supposed to lead them in a spiritual way. And quite honestly, what I've found, guys, most men don't like to be the spiritual leader of their home. It's a very difficult task, and it's hard. And they don't even know, a lot of guys don't even know what it looks like. And that's why these conferences are so well. And I assure you, you're going to get an earful tonight and tomorrow on that. But so when you're slow dancing and you're kind of snuggled up together and your feet are moving in the same direction with the man leading, your feet go over maybe a rough part of the floor, may go over a smooth part of the floor, but in other words, you're going over all kinds of situations together. Not separated, but together. And then if you think about you're holding each other as one, you're listening to the same song. You're dancing to the same music. If you've ever tried dancing not to the same music, you'll know how awkward that is. But if you're dancing to the same music, and the same music for us is Jesus Christ, we're all in tune with him. We want him to be our leader. And so men, when you are looking to God first for direction, and you're praying, and you're leading your wife in prayer, how does that make the woman feel when I do that?
Loved. Secure.
Makes her feel secure. She's not dependent on John Ridenour. She's dependent on Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you to take this, the temperaments that you've got. Men, you need to read what your wives are. Wives, you need to read what your husbands are. And you all need to get to know each other and use these temperaments as a tool to make your marriage better and to strengthen it. So I'm open for any questions if you have. If not, Rob, I'm going to get you to come up. Is he? Okay. Or if Brody wants to come out. I really enjoyed this.
We'll let Brody answer all the rest of your questions.
Man, anytime you can sit and listen to somebody that's a little bit further than you are in life, it's a good thing. But I'm looking around, there's people in here that have been married less than 6 months, less than 6 years. If you've been married less than 52 years, they're ahead of you in the game. So, okay, so the rest of the day, it's just 10:30. And I think it's going to stop raining here in a little bit. Sometimes it rains here in Andrews, usually only a couple times a day. So, and it's already rained twice today, so I think we might be done. Maybe it'll clear up and you can get out and go for a drive. We try to plan this thing where so that the leaves are peak. And then anybody from New England always tells me our fall is really boring compared to theirs. And I'm always like, I'm not good in debate. So I don't usually have a good comeback. But this weekend, everything's still kind of green, but it's still really pretty here. And so if you want to go for a nice drive, well, I think it's supposed to stop raining. Mark, did you tell me last night it's supposed to stop raining around midday? Okay. So maybe it'll clear up, go for a ride. But what I'm getting at is just spend a day together. If you're like me and my wife, if you're like me and Little, just to spend a day together would really be nice. It ain't got to be. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if there's leaves turning. I don't care if we got clothes on, you know. So enjoy the afternoon. It's a marriage retreat. Enjoy the afternoon. All right. And so if you want to go for like a really nice scenic drive, we've got directions and recommendations. I'll give you real quick a couple things that would be awesome to do. Drive from here to Fontana Village. Make a big loop. That'll take you about an hour and 20 minutes total. Real pretty loop. You'll go around a couple of lakes. You'll see Fontana Dam. And then you can drive back around. If you want to do like a high ride up through the mountains, you can go to Chiricahua Skyway. You can go up Nantahala Community. There's some real pretty drives you can do. If you just want to hang out here, that's fine. If you want to go, some of you are staying on campus, some of you are staying off campus. So I know, I already talked to some people going to go watch football this afternoon. And some of the wives are like, what? But some wives really like that. Okay, so whatever. It's like just enjoy the time. So we don't really have anything scheduled other than lunch from now until this evening, and that's intentional. Now we'll have rec open, so if you want to hang out here and do recreation, some of you come with your students. A lot of you have been here with students before, and so you're just, you know, you really enjoy getting to be here without that responsibility. So you want to just ride on the swings or climb on that really cool new tower we got down there. That stuff's going to be open. Do we have is Nikki in here? She's our rec director. Rob, where you at? Hey, on the front row. Where you sit at church? You're such a Baptist. Are we having like paintball?
I don't think we have paintball.
Because that could be bad. That would not be good. Okay, so shotgun range is open. There's going to be activity. So if you want to hang out here all afternoon, there's plenty of activity going on here. Go for a ride into the gorge. Just enjoy it. We'll feed you lunch, but if you want to get like the best off-campus cuisine, let us know. We'll direct you to some local dives. It'll be fun. All right. Those of you that are not Baptist, you want to go get a beer, keep that between yourselves and don't tell the Baptist people. All right. So, all right. Some people asked me yesterday if there's a place to do that. And I was like, we're a Christian camp, man. We don't serve it here. You're on your own. So, but there's like some good restaurants around here. If you want to go, you don't have to eat here, but you already paid for the food here. So it was awesome last night. Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love seafood. So, and cows. So we're going to eat good tonight. I don't know what's for lunch, but it'll be good. So enjoy the day. And I know that John and Spicy are going to be hanging around. and they are a deep well of experiential knowledge. They're also a deep well of biblical knowledge. A lot of people have a lot of biblical knowledge, but not the experience to go with it. And then some people have lived out the experience, but they've never really had it tethered to Scripture and seen it through that lens and that context. And I'm so thankful that they're here. John, I missed the intro this morning, so I don't know what if this was said, but he served on our board for 3 years, and it's been an incredible resource for us. And so we had them do this at our church, in a whole course. And it's so talk to them. They're here. They want to be used by God in your lives and your marriages. And so utilize that. Other than that, enjoy the day, and thank y'all for being here. We're excited about this weekend. It's going to be awesome, and God's going to do great things. So I will close us in prayer, and we'll get out of here. Lord, please bless our day. I pray that you bless the time that we have. I pray for husbands. I pray for wives. I pray for opportunity for conversation. And most importantly, I pray that throughout the course of this weekend, we would see marriage through the biblical lens. I see couples here that have been to this event a dozen times, and they come back because it's refreshing. And I pray that it would not only be refreshing, but that it would be renewing, and that there would be things renewed in our minds that we've known to be true, both intellectually as well as experientially. But I pray that there would also be new things that we learn about ourselves, about each other, about Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us with a fervent love, with a love that is full of grace, and that you never, ever turn away from us, turn your back on us. You continually heap your grace on us day after day. And I pray that we would learn to love like that. And particularly, I pray that as husbands, those of us who are called to be heads of households and lead our families, I pray that we would do that well, and we would do it the way you intend for it to be done and the way you've laid out for us to do it in Scripture. I pray that at this point in the weekend, we would process and understand that covenantal love that you have for us that we looked at last night and was talked about this morning. I pray that we would see in the example that was put in front of us this morning what a life of marriage together can look like and can be, even with highs and lows and mistakes and failures. I pray that we would learn more about each other through understanding personality characteristics and what it is to love and what it is to respect and honor. And God, that everything that goes on this weekend would be done for your glory. I pray that this afternoon, that good conversation would happen between husbands and wives. We'd take time to be introspective, both internally, personally, but then also as a married couple, and that you would help us in that and in those conversations together, alone in the car or out on a hike or whatever it is that we find ourselves doing. Love you, and thank you so much for loving us, and pray again your blessing on this day. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen.